But we feel like it's what the Lord would have for us here today. Take your Bibles, if you would please, this morning, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 19. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 19. As you well know, we've been studying in the Gospel of Matthew now for a good little while. And certainly as we come to the text that we have before us today, if you'll remember, now last Sunday, of course, the Lord moved in and some different things happened. People testifying, people in the altar and all those things. And certainly that was wonderful. And we thank God for that. But the weeks prior to that, we was in Matthew 18. And we talked about certainly what to do when you've been offended, the biblical solution to when you've been offended. And then the week after that, of course, we preached on forgiveness and how that we need to be forgiven and be forgiving people, and how the Lord's forgiven us. And we're very thankful for that. But today I want to look in Matthew chapter number 19, and we find, of course, Jesus as he continues to journey. And, of course, we know his ultimate goal, of course, is to go to Calvary, which he done for you and I. But we find again today in the text that we find the Pharisees comes to him and begins to question him about marriage and divorce. And certainly we're not going to deal with all of that today, but and I tried to get away from preaching this morning. I said, Lord, revival's getting ready to start. And I said, are you sure you want me to continue in this text? And I just couldn't get away from it because marriage is something that is very important and crucial in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, in our communities, in our country. And it's something today that I'm afraid that so many people are not hearing preached from our pulpits. And so God just impressed upon my heart to continue our study this morning. Now, for those that are married today, certainly marriage is a wonderful blessing. It's something that God has given unto mankind. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But all marriages are not made in heaven, unfortunately. And some of you here today have experienced some relationships in your life that were not like they should have been. We're here not here this morning to throw you under the bus. I want you to understand that. But I want these young people today to know that certainly what God has to say about marriage. That's what we're going to talk about for a few moments this morning with the help of God. And not only to our young people today and encouraging them in this thing and teaching them in this thing, but for those that are married, that we would cherish that relationship that we have with our spouses because it also is a type of the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the bride and he's the groom and he's soon coming. And certainly there's going to be a marriage there in heaven and the marriage supper of the Lamb and all that. It's a type. And certainly God's order is right today. And so we want to look at that for a few moments this morning with the help of God. If you found your place in the precious word of God, say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning at the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Matthew chapter number 19, and starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there." So we see Jesus is continuing his ministry. He's continuing to touch people and to heal people. But then notice what happens in verse number 3. The Pharisees, here they come. The Pharisees also came unto him. Now, I want you to notice the text here this morning. Tempting him, testing him, trying to trick him, if you will, and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" Now, notice that, how they try to tempt him. "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Yeah. God's plan for marriage. I may not get through this morning. Hallelujah, just reading the text gets me excited. Amen. God's good. God's got a perfect order. God's got a perfect plan. Verse 5, "And he said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, he shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, notice, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And they said to him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, now notice in verse 8, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to be put away your wives, but from the beginning, notice now, from the beginning, and we may talk about that some this morning, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication, he shall marry another, committeth adultery. Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, If the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. So may the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence again today, Lord, just to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you this morning, Father, for all that you've done in our hearts here today. Lord, I thank you for the teaching of the word of God. I thank you for the beautiful singing, Lord, in the time of worship. But now, Lord, we've come to your precious word. And God, I realize I'm dealing with a subject today, Lord, that's maybe not a hallelujah subject as far as praising and worshiping today. But, Lord, I pray that, Father, you would help us today to grab a hold of some truths of the Word of God today that will help us in our marriages, will help us, help our young people to understand just how important and serious this thing of marriage is today. And, Lord, our nation has strayed so far away from what the biblical home and marriage should be. So I just pray that, God, you'll anoint me and touch me and help me, God, as I stand here today to proclaim the truths of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, if there be any here today, Lord, has never trusted you as Savior, I pray that even through this message, God, they would realize and see, Lord, how special that relationship is between you and your people. So I pray, Lord, you take us and you use us. We commit your hands, remove every hindrance. Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated and thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. For a few moments this morning, with the help of God, and I'll try to get through this thing just as quickly as I can. There's no possible way in the time allotted here this morning that I could deal with everything that Jesus is dealing with here when he's been asked this question. Now remember, the Pharisees have come to him, attempting him, trying to trip him up. Could I say today that a lot of times people come by not for the biblical answer? Amen. Most time they already know what the Bible says, but they come certainly trying to trip you up or to trick you or to get you to tell them what they want to hear. I want you to realize something today. God's Word's true this morning, and God's Word will help us today in our relationships, in our marriages, and certainly in our churches and in our society. Again, as Jesus continues on his way to the cross, and certainly that's his ultimate goal, as we've already said, he's going to the cross, we find again that he is confronted again with these Pharisees. And again, they come, as we said, to tempt him or to test him on the idea of marriage and divorce. Their goal was to trip him up and find a way to accuse him of breaking the Mosaic law. That's what they were trying to do. But they, again, let us consider God's plan for marriage. God's way, certainly this morning, is the right way. And as we said, marriage is so crucial concerning the home, the church, and even our society in which we live. Marriage is very important. God ordained the home and marriage before he ever ordained the church. And so today it's very crucial if our society is to be what it needs to be, that we understand God's perspective concerning, or God's plan concerning a marriage. As I've already said, all marriages are not made in heaven. Unfortunately today, and that's sad, and this morning, but friend, God wants you this morning, if you are in a relationship, if you are married today, he wants that to be a happy, productive relationship. And for those that will be married in the future, he wants you to make sure that you certainly do it the right way. And so today I pray that God will help us and encourage us this morning. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, listen here, guys, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. Men, you better say amen right there. You may need to be an elder before we get done. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and attaineth favor of the Lord. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So today understand this thing of marriage is very important in the eyes of God. And so today as we come to our text before us, I got about three or four things that I want to mention from these verses of Scripture. Not so much about divorce and all those things. Listen, that's a very hurtful thing. There's people sitting in this church that's had to go through that very hurtful thing. And this morning it's sad that it has to happen. And I may talk about that just a little bit. But what I want us to get a hold of this morning, or I feel like that the Holy Spirit's directing our heart on, is certainly, again, God's perspective and God's plan for marriage. Number one, I want you to know the candidates for marriage. We have it right here in our text today. The candidates for marriage. Y'all hearing me? The candidates for marriage. We've got a warped society. There's coming a day, and I'm afraid that day's coming very soon. The very things that I'm preaching from this pulpit this morning, the government's going to try to stop. I'm just being honest with you. We have a society that is so corrupted today. Now listen. I want to say this morning. This is in no way aimed at trying to hurt anybody or do anything today that would discourage you or do anything that would pull you away from the things of God or to consider how much God loves you and what He wants to do in your heart and your life. But God's plan is a perfect plan. God's plan is right today. That's what I'm saying. And we have a society that has corrupted the wonderful thing of marriage between the candidates that are available for marriage. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, look in your Bible today. Notice in verse number 4. And he answered, Jesus, speaking of Jesus, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read? That's what I want to say to some people. Have you not read? It's in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them, watch it. Now here's the candidates for marriage, male and female. You say, preacher, why are you saying all this? Here's one of the reasons why. Our young people are being bombarded. And some of them have been deceived. Some of you are sitting here today and you know people that have been deceived. They're lost and they need a Savior. Now let me say there's not any lifestyle that God can't save you from. I'm glad the precious, thank God the precious blood of the Lamb, I'm glad when He died there, and thank God as they sang about it, this morning paid in full by the blood of the Lamb, I'm glad, thank God that blood this morning can redeem and save to the uttermost, no matter how far you've gone, no matter what you've done, I'm glad, thank God this morning, church, the blood of Calvary, thank God can take care of it, and it will take care of it, if people will submit and surrender their lives to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our society is corrupting our young people. They are being bombarded day after day. Do you realize today in some parts of the United States of America that they are teaching our children about alternate lifestyles? Oh, this makes the devil so mad he can't hardly stand it. He's a fighting me tooth and nail, but I'm going to give you the truth of the Word of God this morning if it hard lifts him today. Because I want these young people in this church to know there's a God in heaven and His way is right, irregardless of what this world says today. It's sad this morning. It's sad that our young people are being bombarded. It's sad in America that it's being taught in the public school system. And we got some great public schools and people in those schools. But friend, we got people that's got warped minds and corrupt hearts. And the only thing that will change that is the blood of Calvary today. But I'm ready. You say, preacher, can God save somebody in a lifestyle? Yes, absolutely He can. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the candidates for marriage this morning is in this text before us. It is the only union that God recognizes as marriage. Listen to me, young people. Now we've got some folks in here that's been married 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, and 70 years. What a great testimony that is, not only to this church, but to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, today we have a society that is warped the thing of marriage. Marriage is the candidates for marriage is male and female, period. Amen. Amen. That's the only union that God recognizes as marriage, irregardless of what this society says. The candidates for marriage today is male and female. That is, again, the only union or only marriage union that God recognizes. We find in these candidates, as Jesus Himself gives it here, He says you can go back to the beginning. See, what we need to understand today in your Bible, that the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. Every doctrine that we hold, you can go back to and trace it back to the book of Genesis. And so this morning, God set this down real early, by the way. Remember, He makes the creation, He speaks all that into existence. He makes Adam there, takes dust of the ground, and makes man and breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, and man becomes a living soul. And we don't know how much time transpired between God making Adam and God putting Adam to sleep, taking a rib from his side. Do you realize God performed the first operation there in the book of Genesis? God put Adam to sleep, took from his side a rib, and there He made woman. See, men, all we're made of out of is dirt. Hey, man, we're just made out of dirt this morning. But God put Adam to sleep, got a rib from him, and made woman. Why? Because Adam needed a helpmeet. Adam needed a companion. Adam needs somebody that he could walk with, and somebody that he could talk to, and somebody that he could fellowship with, and somebody that would be there with him in the midnight hour, and somebody that could help him raise a family. Hallelujah, I'm telling you, God's plan is the right plan this morning. God didn't make Steve and put him with Adam. Oh, no. God didn't do that. God made woman and put him with man to be a helpmeet, to be a companion, to fellowship with, and to procreate. What I can't figure out is how in the world they could think there's no procreation in any other union. God called man to go forth and multiply, be fruitful and multiply the earth. I'm not real smart. I've just been raised in the country all my life. But the only way you can have procreation is you got to have male and you got to have female. Now, some of you parents may need to explain. I'm not going to get into anything today that you need to go home and tell your children about. That's your job. That's not mine. But that's the only way you can have procreation. And so this morning we see from the Bible. We see from the Bible, God's plan for marriage. We see the candidates for marriage. It's male and female. So to me, there's no question about that. It's pretty plain. Why would you want to question that? Because of deception. People are being deceived by the millions. Just this week, matter of fact, I think it's taking place today or sometime this week or next week, they are ordaining at Wake Chapel in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, a transgender woman into the ministry. You say, preacher, why would you mention that here? That's right here in North Carolina. That's 60 miles down the road. And somebody's putting their stamp of approval on something that God has said is wrong. Our children need to know. It's my duty as their pastor not only to preach John 3:16. Amen. It's my job to preach John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Hallelujah, he did. But it's also my responsibility to preach unto you the whole counsel of the Word of God so that you can know how to conduct your life. Hey, listen, the second most important decision that you will make in your life is who you choose as your spouse. You say, well, preacher, what's the first? That's a given. Your first greatest decision is to choose the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior or to receive Him as your Savior. The second greatest choice you will make is who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. I know we ain't going to swing from the chandeliers. I wouldn't expect us to, amen? But it's my responsibility to teach you the whole counsel of God. That's the reason it's good to go through a chapter by chapter and verse by verse sometimes. Hey, don't skip I'll be honest with you. I said, Lord, just let me skip that. God said, no. I want you to go tell them there's a plan for their life, and that plan is right. It's been ordained by God. Thank God for God's ordained plan for mankind today. We see the candidates for marriage. It's male and it's female. Notice this candidates for marriage. Notice it's specific. In other words, there's no gender identity crisis with God. We have a society today that says, well, you can just choose whatever you want to be, and if you don't know what you are, we'll come up with another gender so you can figure it out. Now, that's the warped thinking of our day. Just this week, one of the airlines, I don't remember which airline it was, but I seen it in a news clipping. I seen where they got three genders now when you're going to get on an airplane. You can check male or female, or you can check other. Now, again, I'm just a little simple country boy raised back in the mountains at the foot of the Blue Ridge. And well, we learned pretty early on in life what the difference in male and female were. Hey, man, there's no gender identity crisis with God. God either made you male or He made you female. And it's the deception of the devil and this liberal crowd that's trying to change that. Our young people are going to be so confused of what's right and wrong. Listen, what God put down as right and wrong is black and white. There is no gender identity crisis with God. It is specific. All right? So we see the candidates for, I'm going to get off the candidates for marriage. Because it's crucial. It's crucial. It will destroy our nation. It will destroy our homes, and this church will never be any stronger than the homes that make it up. Oh yes, we're blessed today and thank God for it. But if we don't teach these young people, if we don't pray for them, if we don't give them the full counsel of God and let them decide for their own what thus saith the Lord, I'm telling you today, we're going to have a messed up church one of these days. Notice the candidates for marriage. We've already read from the book of Hebrews, marriage is honorable. And all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The candidates for marriage are specific. Not only that are they specific, but they're special. In other words, God designed it right, as we've already said. Adam was there in the garden. We don't know how long he'd been there. But God recognized he needed a helpmeet. And he recognized it to the point that he mentions it twice in the book of Genesis. In chapter number 2, go check it out for yourself. Man needed a helpmeet. Men, if you've got a good helpmeet, you ought to thank God for it. Amen. You ought to thank God for it. God gave you something special when he gave you your helpmeet. And you ought to thank God for that. Notice it's special, it's specific in the candidates for marriage. Let me move on quickly. Not only do I see the candidates for marriage here in Jesus' teaching, but I also know the covenant. I see the covenant of marriage. The word covenant simply means fellowship. It means agreement. And again, this is to be between male and female, a man and a woman. Notice what he says in verse number 5. And said, for this cause. For what cause? Back up to verse number 4. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother. Shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. There's the candidates for marriage. But secondly, I want you to see the covenant of marriage. Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant that a man and a woman make together, male and female, make together, and they make that covenant before God himself. In sickness and in health, for richer, for poor. See, here's the problem with today's society concerning marriage. They spend $10,000 on a wedding, and if you got $10,000 to spend on a wedding, go at it. But they put no time into the marriage. Oh, it's getting quiet now. Well, maybe God got our attention. We'll spend $10,000 for a wedding ceremony and not invest anything in the marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women, if you do not invest in your marriage will fail. Your marriage will fail. Notice Jesus himself said this is not the way it was supposed to be in the beginning. We'll invest in the ceremony, but do we invest in the marriage? Notice the covenant of marriage. Notice here back in verse number 5, he talks about, first of all, a leaving. Fellas, you can't hold on to mama's coattail. Ladies ought to have jumped up and shouted right there. Men, you can't hold on to mama's coattail and be the husband that you need to be to your wife. Amen. Men, you can't do everything your father tells you after you have made that covenant with your wife Now, you are to honor your parents. Don't misunderstand me. Don't you take this out of context. You are to honor your parents. But when you say I do to that lovely little bride that God's give you, you have obligated yourself, number one, to protect her. To protect everything about her life. You are to protect her. You are to be a protector not only of her, but you are to be a protector of that marriage, of that relationship. You ought to do everything you can to protect that marriage. And you say, well, preacher, I went through a process, and it all didn't work out. But friend, don't do it to the place where you know you've done all that you can do. You can't control people, and I understand that today. But friend, I'm telling you, if the men would do what they're supposed to do, and the women would do what they're supposed to do, you can make it work. In this contract or this covenant, first of all, there's a leaving. Now, it's interesting to me that he says the man is to leave father and mother. And you got to go back into some Jewish custom, and I don't want to get into all that this morning, but certainly the obligation of that, especially if it was that firstborn son to that family, was a great obligation. But when he took that wife, it's amazing in the Jewish custom, in the Old Testament couple, Old Testament economy, when a couple got married, there was a room built onto that house. And for 1 year, I'm afraid that's the problem of what's happened in America. We get back off the honeymoon and it's going here and going there and we forget to work on the relationship. For 1 year they worked on that relationship. After the marriage covenant was made. And first thing in this contract, we see that the man, there is a leaving. And you say, well, preacher, as a lady you think, well, I can just run back to mama then. No, you are to submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. Oh, my. Let me get up here. They may start throwing stuff. I got to get up here before I can get out of the way. In that covenant of marriage, first of all, there is a leaving. In other words, a man, a new responsibility to his bride. He's first of all to protect for her, to protect her in all aspects of that relationship. But he's also to provide for her. There's nothing wrong with a man providing for his wife and family. What a messed up society we have. A woman today, if she decides that she wants to have children and stay at home, she is looked down upon. I say, God bless you. If you can do that, and I understand our society, it's hard to do that today. I understand that, and I'm not preaching against you this morning. Listen, if there's anybody for you today and anybody for your home and your children, it's your pastor. I'm for you. I want what's best for you. Why? Because that's what God wants. But if a woman does that today, she's looked down upon. Most of the time when obituaries come out, I read a lot of those. I don't know why. I guess it's because I have to do so many funerals. But anyway, I find it amazing in that older generation, a lady in her 70s, 80s, or 90s has passed away. And here's what it'll say about her. She was a homemaker. She was a homemaker. Are you hearing me? She was a homemaker. In other words, she made her priority of looking after her husband and her children. What's wrong with that? Not a thing. Now, every woman's not had the opportunity to do that. And again, I'm not preaching against that. I'm just saying, what's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. Notice this covenant of marriage. There's a leaving, and secondly, there's a cleaving. Is that not what it says? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. Now that word cleave is a very interesting word. It means to glue to. It means to adhere to. It means to stick together. Have you ever used glue on anything? I mean that good glue. Get you some of that Gorilla glue. I'm telling you what, you get you some of that, you better not get it on your hands. Hey, you know, preacher, because I have. I mean, you think you need a whole bunch of it, but you don't really need much of it. It'll get your fingers so stuck together, you'll never get them apart. That's what God's saying. In this covenant of marriage, not only is there the leaving, but there's the cleaving. And it's more than just the physical aspects of the marriage. Hey, that's a wonderful part that God created between one man and one woman. I think I'm losing them. Somebody get out your shocking paddles. That's part of it. But it's more than just the physical aspects of the marriage. It's coming together in every aspect of that relationship and working as one unit. That's God's plan for marriage. It's not that you go your way and she goes hers. Now, everybody needs buddies and everybody needs friends and everybody needs hobbies. But if you spend more time, here we go. Reach over and just lock her down a little bit tighter. If you spend more time with your buddies and your girlfriends and your hobbies, you're going to look around one day and wonder what happened to my marriage. Somebody get the shocking paddles out. But it's the truth. If you don't work on that relationship, and there may be some people here today that needs to hear this message. If you don't work on that relationship, as you would any relationship, if we don't work on this relationship here, the relationship here won't be what it needs to be. There's the candidates for marriage, and I got to move on. There's the covenant of marriage. There's the leaving and the cleaving. You are to stick together through thick and thin, through up and down, through good and bad, in sickness and in health. See, here's the problem with modern day marriage. They think there's a way out. If this don't work out, I'll just go get me another one. Well, bless God, cheaters wouldn't fall in line, so I decided to go get me another one. It's kind of like trading cars. It might have a fancy, shiny job at one time, but it's still a car. Hey, man, I'll just go get me a different one. Still a car. Hey, man. Well, there's another nail in his coffin. Hey, man. There's the candidates of marriage. There's the covenant of marriage. And then thirdly today, there's the commitment of marriage. Notice the commitment of marriage. I don't know who's going to get killed first, me or him. The commitment of marriage. Notice again, verse 6, wherefore there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Don't you let somebody come through and get between you and your spouse. Amen. The devil himself will send somebody by to get in your marriage, to get in that relationship and destroy it if he can. But be committed to it. Be committed to it. The commitment of marriage. Notice again the union. Two becomes one. There's no place for selfishness. People today are so selfish. Bless God, if I just can't have it, if I can't have it the Burger King way, I'll just do something different. Well, preacher, what's the Burger King way? I'm going to have it my way. What about that commitment? Marriage is a commitment. And it's not a commitment for today and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. Miss Debbie, that is a lifetime commitment. And again, I understand sometimes things happen. That brought up the question, even in our text today. Let me say it like this. If you are in a marriage covenant today, and you have made a commitment today, do everything in your power, with God's help, to keep that commitment. That's what I'm saying. To keep that commitment. Things do happen. But we see the commitment of marriage. Notice there's the union. Two becomes one. There's no place for selfishness, but for submission. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's an ultimate commitment, as we said, a lifetime. Notice that word asunder here in the text. That word asunder, it means to place room between. It means to part. It means to go away. It means to separate. In other words, God's saying, don't let anybody put something between you and your spouse. Well, preacher, I was lost at the time. And sometimes that happens. Preacher, I wasn't right with God at that time. Well, divorce doesn't mean today that it's the unpardonable sin. God does forgive. Just like God forgives, as we talked about those alternative lifestyles that people want to talk about, God can forgive that. God forgives any sin that we'll confess to Him according to the Bible. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They have the word today of cohabitating. Let's just be honest. It's not God's plan. God's plan is if God has sent you the person into your life that you feel like you want to spend the rest of your life, God expects you to make a commitment. God expects you to make a commitment to that individual before Him. Now, let's look at something else. I'm about done. Somebody say, hallelujah, praise God. Not only do I see the commitment of marriage, but think about the challenges of marriage. The challenges of marriage. Marriage is very challenging because you have two opposite people that are coming together to make one. And it's challenging. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, preacher, we've been married for 400 years and we ain't never even had a crossword with one another. Wow, you ought to write a book. Matter of fact, you might not go into marriage counseling. It's challenging. Two people coming together as one in the marriage relationship is very challenging. You're going to have up days. You're going to have down days. You're going to have days that things don't go your way. Man, that's most days, by the way. there's challenges. But I believe today that you can get through those challenges with the help of God. Because you've made a commitment. There are many. Let me give you these statistics today. And these are just statistics. This is not necessarily what's going to happen in your life or my life or any. It's just statistics that we have to look at. First of all, researchers estimate that 41% of first marriages end in divorce. 41%. Now, was that God's plan from the original, back in the beginning? Let me give you this quickly today. I promise I'm trying to get done. Go back to what Jesus said. In the beginning, this was not so. What happened after Adam and Eve? What happened? Sin. Sin. That's what I'm saying. Notice Jesus told the Pharisees, because of the hardness of your heart. Sin. Now again, God forgives sin. Thank God He forgives sin. I say thank God He forgives sin. Amen. But what happened? Ever divorce can be traced back to sin. Well, preacher, I've done the very best I could. And you may have. But somewhere, on one side of the other, sin come in. The devil come in and divided. And let's just be honest with it. Sometimes people pick the wrong person. Sometimes people pick the wrong person. So does that mean they're doomed for life? No. God forgives. But it's because of the hardness of men's heart that we see divorce. Wasn't God's original plan? Let me say this. There's a lot of things that wasn't God's original plan that man messed up. That's the reason we got Calvary. Hallelujah for Calvary today. 41%. That's the reason I say to our young people, it'll be the second most important decision that you make in your life. Now again, these are just figures that I'm throwing out there for you this morning. 60% of second marriages end in divorce. 73% of third marriages end in divorce. What are you saying, preacher? Stay with the commitment that you got. That's what I'm saying. Well, preacher, I messed up in the past. Ask God to forgive you, get over it, and move on with your life today. Well, preacher, I can't do this and I can't do that. There's two things in the Baptist church you can't do this morning. According to Scripture. Oh, it got quiet again. You can't be a deacon. And by the way, that's not the only qualification. We've already been through all that. And you can't be a preacher. Now, if you're a woman, you're automatically disqualified in both areas. Amen. Just like the world has corrupted marriage, it's corrupted the ministry. I'm coming up with another outline standing right here. But there's challenges to marriage. The divorce rate, 41% for first time, 60 and 75. In other words, if you get to the fourth time, it ain't looking good. See, here's the problem. People are looking for someone to make them happy. And no one will never bring you happiness. There's only one that can give you happiness today, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. everybody else can add to that happiness. You understand what I'm saying? But if you're looking for somebody to make, oh, boy, if I could just get so-and-so, boy, that'd make me happy. Oh, if she just liked me, that'd make me so happy. Be careful. The only one that can make us really happy, bring true joy to our hearts, is Jesus. And everybody else can add to that happiness. You see what I'm saying? Kind of like the saying is, happy wife, happy life. Boy, aren't we having a good time today? I see the challenges of marriage, but Elisha, today I want you to see this, and I'm done. And I don't have time to go there today, but Christ in the marriage. Christ in the marriage. You and I can't have, we can't change what's happened in the past. You can't do a thing about it. But what you and I can do is allow Christ to have his proper place, not only in our individual lives, but also in our marriages. See, the book of Ephesians tells us that Christ is the head of the church. Is that all right? The man is the head of the wife. Woo! And the wives are to be subject to their own husbands. Notice in that text it says to their own husbands. Amen. To their own husbands. And then the Bible says something like this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Bless God, she better do what I tell her to do. Bless God, if you want her to do what you want her to do, you better love her like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Are you going to have a fight on your hands? Hey, man.
You're right.
So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. The marriage relationship is vital. Is vital. To you, to your children, to this church, to this community. And God only honors a marriage between one man and one woman. Here's the question that's going to come. Well, preacher, what about the Old Testament? Why, Solomon had all these wives. Where did God... Where did God put his stamp of approval on that? Nowhere. Man done that, not God. Who in the world would want that many wives? I love mine, but one's enough.
Amen.
Lord help. Milo, you're going to be in some bad trouble, boy, I'm telling you. I love you, brother. I do counseling in the afternoons after service. And certainly, I would counsel any couple and help any couple at any time, but I'll be honest with you. If you'll stay in church and you'll stay under the preaching of the Word of God, and you'll keep yourself submitted to God and submitted to one another, you can make it. You can make it. Ain't nothing you can't work out. You can make it. God's plan for marriage. Just stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, I know it's been a little bit unusual message this morning, but Lord, it's what you put on my heart. And Lord, I've tried to obey what you asked me to do this morning in this message. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help each of us to consider the relationships that we have at this time in our lives. Thank you for our spouses. Thank you for our couples. Thank you for those that have been committed for so many years to this thing of marriage. And Lord, help our young people to understand that it's the second biggest decision that they'll ever make in their life. And Lord, help us as your people to follow through with your plan of marriage. Help us to be committed. Help us to be in that covenant. Lord, the challenges come. But Lord, let us allow Christ. Let us allow Christ to be the center of everything that we are and everything that we do. And Lord, we can have happy homes. These children deserve happy homes. And homes where mom and dad love one another and love you and are committed to one another and committed to serving you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. I pray you take the invitation this morning, Lord, for somebody here lost. I realize it's been a message to the church, but Lord, it could be somebody here today who's never trusted you as Savior. I pray they might come. There may be some folks here today who just need to come, bring their family, and say, God, I want you to help me. I want you to help me and my wife. I want you to help my family. Lord, I want to be everything, Lord, that you've designed us to be. Lord, I don't know, but Lord, I just commit it to your hands. You put it on my heart, and Lord, all I know to do is deliver it. I pray we'll take it and receive it, and Lord, we'll do what you'd have us to do. Take the invitation, and it's in Christ's name. Amen.